Check, check, 1, 2. Welcome back to the show, episode 108. Coming off a fantastic show last night. Shout out to everyone who came out to the Milk District. I don't know, I was going to say downtown Orlando. It's not downtown, it's the Milk District. It's by the T.G. Lee. So I guess if you have a milk factory, you can claim it's the Milk District. I guess in New York they had the Meatpacking District, which is where I guess they packed meat or used to, but it was just all nightclubs in these old factories. Anyway, none of that matters because I broke the curse. Last night we broke the curse of the leather jacket. I have a tan suede leather jacket. It's nice, but I bombed in it twice. One of them was really bad. 300 people. Sold out. It was a comedy contest, and I just bombed so hard to the point where I was in the car with my girlfriend at the time after going, what the fuck happened? And she was like, everything's fine. I go, everything is not fine. It was a brutal next 3 days. That night was just like, oh my gosh. It was so bad, you were like, should I quit now? So I wear it sometimes. I wear it when I play the Florida Man character. But to wear it back on stage, I was just so nervous. I almost said to the crowd up top, I've never had a good show in this jacket, so here we go. But I didn't want to put that that energy out there up top. So, and then I was like, well, maybe I'll say it at the end because it was a good set. And I was just like, oh, man, we, sir, you know, it's not the jacket. It was you that sucked that night. But, yeah, I'm not really superstitious, but when it comes to, I guess if you bomb in an article of clothing so bad, it'll make you want to never wear it again. But, yeah, I wore it, had a good set, and that felt better than the set. But I got a lot of good footage from that, so that'll be out on the socials. You know me, man, always posting clips Monday, Wednesday, Friday, always adding captions to videos. Did you know 74% of all videos watched on social media don't have the audio on? Oh, it's because everyone's watching these videos at work. So now I got to put captions because you don't want to do your job. So now I got to add captions to videos so you can take a dump at work on the clock while watching them in the stall, but you can't have the audio on. So I got to put big yellow words on the screen, but whatever, man, I'm happy to do it for you. Happy to do it for you. It's only 10 hours out of my week. Who cares? I listened to my neighbor get robbed today. That was entertaining. My neighbor was on the phone with customer service for about 2 hours, and I know because I listened to the whole thing. He paid his credit card company $450 that he didn't need to, and he paid it with his debit card, and then his credit card company said, well, we can't issue the money back because it's from your bank account, and then his bank account didn't issue him back the money because it was on a debit card, and it was an authorized purchase by him. Then he was trying to tell his credit card company to give his bank the $450, and they're like, we're not going to do that. And so he was just pinned in between two financial institutions. Apparently someone said he needed to pay some fee, and he did, and then it turns out he didn't, and they wouldn't refund him the money because of how he paid for it. Oh, man. I felt bad for the guy, but then he just started doing that classic good cop, bad cop thing with the customer service rep. You know, he'd go from extremely angry to like, come on, you know, help me out here. Back to like, fuck you. Then he got racist at the end. Oh, poor guy. At first he was doing the classic, like, this is just un-fucking believable. Are you kidding me right now? $450? You're just going to take it from me. Huh? Is that what you guys do over there? And then it went from, all right, just say you're the consumer, all right? Put yourself in my shoes, okay? Just put yourself in my shoes for 1 second. And I was like, no, not the put yourself in my shoes line. It was just the classic cliche customer service sayings across the board for an hour and a half. And I'm sitting there putting pepper on my steak, just laughing like a psycho, doing the Goodfellas laugh with the pepper shaker, like, so then it went from put yourself in my shoes, just put yourself, what would you do in my situation? Back to this, you guys are fucking liars. Okay, I've been a loyal customer since 2014. I was like, not the loyal customer line. I've been a loyal customer since 2014, damn it. You guys just can't work with me, huh? You just can't. It's $450. Come on, guys. I got a car payment. It's Christmas time. Just refund me the money. Sir, sorry, we can't do that. You guys are fucking liars. Just right back into it. Oh, then the final, like, you know you're not going to get your $500 back. You might as well just go out swinging. Dude, at the end, at the end of the call, he hit him with the real reason, and we all know why. I hate to say it, but it's all Filipinos at customer service. He goes, I don't want to say it, but come on. Filipinos, they don't really speak English. Miscommunication. Come on. Once you throw an entire race under the bus, you know you're not getting your money back. That's just that I get to be racist for $400. You know, I'm not going to see this money anyway, so let me just blame it on the Filipinos. Like, oh my God. And you feel bad for the guy because he was going through it, man. He was on hold. You know, they were passing him from department to department. And I heard the whole music. I heard the Mozart symphony. And he was sitting right by the pool, so the sound just carried. I'm sure the whole apartment complex heard him try and get his money back. But it is nice to hear someone else go through customer service turmoil. Because, you know, it just confirms that you're not a psycho. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, I got to work on my anger. And then you hear someone else on the phone with customer service going like, listen here, you motherfuckers. Put yourself in my shoes. Come on, just put yourself in my shoes for 1 second. It was the Filipinos. Let's be honest, the Filipinos. And you're just like, oh my God. It's everybody. Everybody goes through the same bullshit at the end of the day. Does everybody blame it on the Filipinos? Probably not. This guy does. I saw that more weapons were being sent to Ukraine. Do they not have all the weapons yet? How much more money are we going to send them? I know they need help, but it's like at this point you're like, we're sending them so much money that you're like, I thought this country was broke. What is this unlimited checkbook that they have? How much money have they sent Ukraine? Because it is just... This is from 24 hours ago. What military equipment is the world giving Ukraine? All right, so far the U.S. has given Ukraine $18.5 billion. Germany gave them $2.3 billion. The U.K. has donated $2 billion. Poland, $1.8 billion. Canada, $1 billion. France, $500 million. And then a Czech Republic, Sweden. I mean, so in total, they've... been given over $20 billion. Guys, what's going on? What are we doing? What's really happening? That's what I'm asking. We'll never know. We won't know for 20 years, and by that time, no one will give a shit. Oh, remember the $40 billion they gave to Ukraine? What'd they do with it? I can't even wrap my head around $20 billion. Billion. We just gave that to Ukraine. Something's fucking going on, dude. It's not just a basic war. There's so many deals being made. It's like at this point, the missiles don't even explode. You just open them and they're full of cash. I saw this week, apparently there's a hotel in Berlin, Germany called the Radisson Blue. And it's got a 52-foot tall aquarium in the center of the hotel. Looks like some James Bond shit. It's just a giant cylinder of a fish tank. It had 1,500 fish in it. And it just shatters right in the lobby of this hotel. 400 guests at the Radisson Blu woke up to a crash and a roar of water as the 20-year-old 40-foot Daya Atrium Aquarium, called the Aquadome, or Aquadome, I'm assuming, doesn't have an E at the end. Sorry, I'm just sounding it out. Dude, so much water. It flooded other buildings. Aquadome architect Michael Jessing said even handguns would not burst the whole cylinder, and most bullets could make a small hole where a little water could come out. Really, that kind of Hollywood scenario or worst case scenario couldn't happen here, he said. Yeah, you could shoot this thing and it wouldn't do any damage, but hey, in 20 years it's going to fucking explode in the morning. There were no casualties except for close to all of the 1,500 fish. All right, well, it's got to be kind of a mindfuck as a fish, or maybe you're a fish and you don't know. I don't know. You're just swimming around in a fish tank in Germany, and the next thing you know, you're just getting flooded out into a German street. Maybe fish don't think, but maybe they do. I mean, I wonder, you think fish think the Earth's flat? They're like, look, I told you it's fucking flat. This is the edge of our reality at the Radisson Blu. They don't know any better. It's like when you take a lizard or like a spider that's on your car and you drive it 20 miles and then it gets off. It's like it didn't even know that that land existed. It's going to take its entire lifetime to get back to the parking lot that you drove from. All right, we got another story here. A hippo attacks a young boy and then spits him out. The attack took place around 3 p.m. when a boy was playing at his home near a lake in the Cassis district in western Uganda. The area includes several large national parks and game reserves, along with a series of lakes and safari lodges. The boy, Igapal, was saved by the bystander identified as Crispus Bagonza. He stoned the hippo and scared it, causing it to release the victim from the mouth, Uganda's National Police Force said, citing a report from the territorial police. The police say this is the first such kind of incident. The boy's family says he lives half a mile from the lake. The hippo fled the scene after dropping the boy, who was quickly rushed to a local medical clinic for injuries to his hand. He was then moved to the hospital for additional treatment. Yeah, hippos apparently are like super aggressive, like the number one killer. And they can run like 30 miles an hour. So you're just basically fucked. Dude, you survive a hippo attack at 2 years old. You got to grow up. You got to be a legend. All you have is an injured hand. That's how you got a badass name back then. They'd be like, Hippo Tooth and I will scout ahead. May God have mercy on our souls. Like, why do they call you Hippo Tooth? It's fucking dope, dude. He's probably going to grow up and be like in the UFC, fighting out of Uganda. He's got like a crazy left hook because that's where the hippo bit him. So his hand's all fucking deformed. He has to have a special glove. I don't care how old you are, dude. That's got to be a life-changing experience to just be in another creature's mouth. That's got to change your whole fucking reality. Oh, we're back. The last 10 minutes of the episode was deleted. I don't know why. This show should be called Technical Difficulties with Sean Madden, because this is out of control. I'm at the point where I'm not even mad anymore when it happens. I just go, huh, it happened again. I just need to get a real camera, not use my phone. The storage just eats up immediately. I got a GoPro to do the podcast originally, but it looked like shit. I was so surprised, and it's like the newer one. And then the battery would die every 20 minutes, and then it would clip every video, and then it saved the frame rate completely different. Whatever, you guys don't give a shit. But yeah, the last article I was talking about before the camera shut off, the New York Times is getting slammed over a swastika crossword. Now, when I first heard this, I was like, this is going to be a reach to try to stir the pot even more. And then I saw it, and I go, it does look like a swastika. And the guy who actually made it said he originally tried to make it work in the 15 by 15 grid, but then decided to expand the grid out to a Sunday-sized puzzle with a fun whirlpool shape. The fraught Sunday brain teaser titled Some Themes Missing had been concocted by a Washington, D.C.-based consulting manager, Ryan McCarty, who has formulated 22 other puzzles for the paper. Some critics accuse the newspaper of subliminal messaging, given its alleged track record of publishing anti-Israel content. You see the guy getting fired? They're like, hey, we're going to kick you off the puzzle team. And he goes, it's a whirlpool. It's a whirlpool, guys. Tell them it's a whirlpool. They just slowly slide out, leave the meeting. Yeah, Ryan, it's a whirlpool. Fun working with you. It's a whirlpool. This is just going to end up as some hot ticket item on Pawn Stars in 20 years. You know, they walk in, the guy's like, all right, let me see what you got here. Oh, what is, oh, this is the New York Times swastika from 2022. Wow, that's in perfect condition. All right, I got a swastika expert. He goes, look, I got to tell you, I don't know too much about swastika crossword puzzles, but I got an expert. Let me call my guy, come back tomorrow, and we're going to get this thing appraised. I love how they titled it to Some Themes Missing. Yeah, something is missing. A red armband. Well, anyway, that's it for episode 108. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas to all. Enjoy your family, your friends, your days off. Eat some good food. Drink hot chocolate. Do a swastika crossword. And you know what? If I don't see you guys, have a happy new year, but I should be back next week. You want to smoke something? You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian.
This joke's not going to go well.